He was never late? I don't know. All right. Good afternoon.
Can you tell us about Jake Elliott, and would you just bring back Caleb Sturgis if he can't kick this weekend?
Well, first of all, with Jake, he's in our protocol, obviously, so we'll evaluate him more. We haven't made any decisions yet. This week we still got a couple of days before we have to make any decisions on kickers.
Is Caleb healthy?
Yeah, good. You know, he's continuing to rehab. Obviously, he's begun a kicking regiment. So, he's getting himself back to where he was prior to the injury. So he's close.
Do you think he could play if he needed to on Sunday?
Well, again, you're talking about roster spots and making moves and things of that nature, and we're not there yet, so we're going to continue these discussions the next couple of days.
So, when you have, I mean, LeGarrette Blount's led the league in touchdowns.
Maine Athletic
and Club. SGI, I'm sorry?
Your sweatshirt. What is that?
Can't call it Port Maine.
All right.
Ajayi is a guy who was getting 20 carries a game in Miami. How do you sell them on, you know, you're going to be part of a rotation now? And, you know, I mean, guys have incentives in their contracts and that kind of thing. And part B of that question would be when the younger guys see two guys like that or you know, kind of being unselfish, how does it have a ripple effect?
The first part of the question, I would say this, that when Jay arrived, obviously he was probably the guy in Miami. Obviously, as you mentioned, 20 plus carries a game, and you know the conversations that you have initially with him is that listen, you're in a system now where we do have a rotation, and you get, you know, one, you have to learn the system. You got to learn a set of plays that we ask you to learn, and on top of that, when you continue to win games, the unselfishness or the selfishness goes away, and guys want to contribute any way possible to the success of the team, and that's what you're seeing right now in all phases, especially the running game. And then what was part B? I forgot too. So,
I mean, when other guys see that.
Well, when you see veteran players that are unselfish like that, it does trickle down, and it does trickle down because it affects the younger guys, and they see that, and then they want to be a part of that, obviously, and it just lets them know that you know, hey, we can still play big boy football and still be unselfish that way.
In getting back to the kicking situation, is it either Jake or Caleb? Was there an option?
Well, I think moving forward, as we continue to evaluate this week, I think, you know, obviously we'll find out more in the next couple of days with Jake, obviously, and I don't want to put myself in a box, but you know, we'll keep all the options open right now and still have conversations. But it kind of goes back to the same old thing, is we'd still have a couple of days here today and tomorrow to evaluate Jake, see where everybody's at, and you know, still a little while before we play Sunday, and you know, we'll make a decision as we go.
Has a decision been made that Jake's your guy going forward if he's healthy?
I think so. You know, if he's healthy and can play, I you know, you'd hate to disrupt that right now. You know, and so I'd have to say yes to that.
The way you guys are scoring from all angles, all options, you know, different guys scoring every scoring opportunity. What does it say about the balance of this offense?
I just think it's the unselfishness and the willingness of the football team, the offensive guys. I mean, there's a lot of you know, so-called weapons that we consider weapons on offense, and these guys, it's the way they practice during the week and the way they gel with Carson and you know, it's to have 33, you know, rush attempts and 27 passing attempts, I think, is well balanced, and that's some of the things that I've talked about all season and being having that balance. But you know, it's just winning is contagious, and the guys feed off of that, and so it really doesn't matter who makes the play. It's just at the end of the day, just find a way to win the game.
What enables that? That balance. I mean, I'm sure you don't go into the week throwing up, you know, we're gonna have four touchdowns, four different guys. I mean, you guys are
Yes,
unique.
We do.
Well, I mean, you guys do great. But what
What is it? It's pretty unique in the league. I mean, most teams have that star guy and that star receiver running back. You guys don't even have a 100-yard receiver in a game yet, just one 100-yard rusher. What enables that to happen?
You know, I really hate to say this, but the bottom line is winning the game. Bottom line. I don't go into a game saying, you know, Jay, you got to get 100 yards rushing. You know, LeGarrette, you're Alshon, you got 100 yards. It doesn't work that way. We don't design the offensive plays to work that way. If it happens, great. You know, Alshon a couple weeks ago had an opportunity to be our first 100-yard receiver this year. And, you know, listen, it's just the guys want to win. And it doesn't matter who's hot in the game. Our quarterback is so prepared and well prepared, knowing exactly where to go with the ball in the passing situations. We ask him to do so much in the run game, and it's just all part of the process. And these guys have bought in 100%, and they prepare that way. And you see it on game day. They're just all making plays and they're all contributing right now.
What was the offseason decision to have Big V start out on the left after, you know, finishing mostly on the right last year?
Well, you know, as you know, we you know, JP, we rest him quite a bit in the offseason. You know, we don't need him necessarily to take all the reps in the offseason. So why not give V the opportunity to work over there and get valuable reps for him and improve his skill set? And at the same time, you know, we put Lane over there. We give Lane some reps on the left side, put V on the right side. So the off season is the time to do that, and then we get into training camp, and you got so many guys that you still, you know, Jason Peters, we still want to make sure that he's healthy and ready to go for the regular season. So, you know, you give Big V those reps on the left side. You know, from what he's done last year, what he's done this year, when he's your first guy off the bench to fill a need for you, you want to make sure that not only him, but all the guys that are in that role get the time needed. You know, because you're going to need them.
The guy to swing over to left if Jason was out, you were going to go with Big V.
Yeah, but I said this a couple weeks ago when Jason went down. Lane's playing extremely high right now on the right side, and I didn't want to disrupt two positions. So we felt like the best for the offense was to just put V over there and get him coached up and let him play well on that side.
When you look at, like, what the offense has done this year, do you think it often gets overlooked? You know, just how
what gets overlooked?
Just how important the defense was. I mean, especially in that first half, I mean, you guys were struggling offensively, and yet, you know, you were only down 2 points and everything because of what the defense was doing.
Yeah, I can't say enough about the defense. To hold that team to 9 points, you know, shut out in the second half. I mean, it's as good a defense as I've seen in a long time, and really the way they're playing together as a unit. It starts with the defensive line, obviously, and the generation on the pass rush, but slowing and stopping the run game and it works hand in hand. So, you know, anytime your offense can build a lead, as we did in the second half, now you can just sort of unleash your defensive line. And it goes hand in hand. Those things work together. It's different if it's a, you know, if it's a tight ball game, then it's tight, you know, all around. But defensively, to, you know, create the turnovers they're doing, you know, and to score on defense as we did again last night, is so huge for the success of the team. And they're again last night, early in the game, and really the whole first half, keeping us in the game when it could have, you know, especially that first drive, they opening kickoff and they're on the plus side of the field. It could have been a different outcome there, but to hold them, you know, to those 9 points was huge for the success and the win of the team.
What has Vitek shown you as far as progression these 3 or 4 games he's played?
Tell you what, he's he's another one that's just incrementally getting better and better and better. And you know, I'm calling less protection help to his side. I mean, he's just really coming into his own, and he's trusting his instinct, trusting his skill, trusting his coaching. Coach Stoutland, Eugene, they do a great job of getting him ready and all the guys ready each week, and he's done a really nice job.
Well,
Someone else that has been able to get better each and every week, and I know he's in his rookie year, is Derek Barnett. Just how about the game last night and what he's been able to give you guys so far?
Oh, Derek, two sacks. I mean, last night, I mean, this guy is very disruptive, explosive. And again, he's another one of those unselfish guys, man. He just wants to win and do whatever he can to help the team win. And we've asked him to play special teams. He's got a great role on you know, I think he was close to 50% of the snaps again last night on defense. And but yet sometimes we still ask him to play on special teams, and he's willing to give himself to the team. So valuable, obviously, and playing well.
Given the way the two-point conversions went last night, have you thought much about what it would be, you know, how it would work out if you just did that?
Yeah, I have. Of course, you always go into a game with a few in your pocket. You never expect, you know, that situation again like we had last night. But, and you look at the numbers. If, you know, if you're around 94, 95% on you know, the extra point from the 15-yard line, you know, your conversion rate should be in that 47, 48, 49%, you know, on a two-point conversion. And so we look at all of that. You know, we keep a couple extra plus five red zone plays in our pocket for that situation. So it worked out, I think, 3 for 4 last night, and really probably could have been 4 for 4. And, you know, it's something we'll look at going forward.
I feel like you're 9 of 12 in your 2 years here from two-point conversions. Is that a play you rep often, and do you have a lot of plays in those situations?
You know, I made a conscious effort, kind of a point of emphasis all the way back in OTAs to study that, number one, and then to work on it offensively and defensively. And then I carried it over into training camp. And it's just something that we look at, you know, the offensive staff with Frank. I mean, they look at it. We look at it every week. Even in the red zone, you know, that plus five area, that low red area, we want to make sure that we have enough in the arsenal that if it ever came down to sort of those got to have it 2-point plays, that you can pull one out and you know it's going to be successful. And that's run and pass, not just throw only.
Without Jordan Hicks now for a few weeks, how well have the linebackers not only been able to adjust as far as how they're playing, but really taking over a lot of his duties calling the signals out there?
I tell you, the Joe has obviously filled in really nice. It's all predicated on the offense. I think Joe had a little under 20 snaps even last night in the game. So he's, you know, we're playing so much sub defense where, you know, Nigel Bradham has been the guy kind of making the calls in nickel situations and sub situations. So, you know, it's just the next guy has to step up. Nigel's done a great job in that regard. But Joe has filled in nice as well. Go ahead. I know you're.
Thank you. As this team continues to rack up points, especially off an emotional win like last night, how do you make sure that the team has that level head with all the expectations around this program?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely a good problem to have with the success of the team right now. But, you know, I attribute that to the leadership, you know, the veteran players on the team. And they don't get overwhelmed with it. You know, they take it all in stride. They should enjoy it, obviously, as a team. Because they worked hard to get to this spot. But at the same time, it's business as usual. They keep talking about a one-week mentality, getting ready for work on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and just trying to win the week. And they've done that all season long, and that's probably one of the biggest things that I'm most proud of with this group.
What was the key to the Ajayi 71-yard run, the blocking specifically?
It was a tackle trap play. We ran it several times, actually, in the football game. I believe we went to the left, so it would have been Lane that was coming around the horn right there. It was just well blocked. You know, it's a north and south between the tackles play, and you know, well blocked, and then it just hit it and took off. So just the execution of the play. And it was a play that I think I might have called it probably five times last night in the game.
Barnett, we've seen the numbers start to pile up a little bit more for him, in sack numbers. Has something changed, or are they just coming now?
I just think they're coming now. I think he's getting comfortable in the role. I think he's developing He's understanding the game. He studies tackles. He studies his opponent. You know, he's developed a couple of different moves, and just it's just his willingness. But I think just it just clicks. You know, for any player, just clicks, and they start to come. So, love where he's at right now too.
The process with Jake Elliott's concussion. It seemed like he did it on the opening kickoff, but he stayed in. Did he tell somebody he wasn't right, or what happened exactly?
Yeah, you know, unaware, obviously, until the trainers came up to me and said he was being evaluated.
That was after he missed the field goal, I guess, somebody.
Yeah, it was after the missed field goal.
Doug, one more on Tide. Replacing a guy, a Hall of Famer, could be problematic for a young guy. Was there a conversation about, you know, don't try to be Jason Peters and just be yourself? I mean, that's a lot to ask for.
Yeah, no, definitely. You can't be a Jason Peters or whoever it might be. I was like when I was in Green Bay and playing, you can't be Brett Favre. I mean, it's just you got to be you and be the best you that you can be. And that's the case with V. You know, just let your talent show. Trust your ability. Trust your instinct. And you know, good things are going to happen. And that's what you're seeing out of him. It's a lot of fun. I mean, obviously, and the guys enjoy coming to work every single day that they're here. And you know, part of my messaging to the team is, you know, if you can't have fun doing what you're doing, you should probably find something else to do. And even sometimes through the ups and downs of the season, you still find ways to keep it fresh and creative and have fun doing it. And the guys are having fun playing together. And that's what you're seeing. It's definitely a team effort right now.
Okay. Thanks,
Thank you.